Hello, I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. Today I'm talking with Bill Fokkerson, who's a field officer with Norco Cooperative based at Lismore in northern New South Wales. In today's discussion, we're looking at kikuyu and managing kikuyu pastures for the dairy industry on the north coast. Bill, what are some of the key factors in managing kikuyu pasture quality?
Look, the key factor is, to manage it so you optimise quality, and that's really optimising leaf available to the cow. For example, the leaf may be at times, up to 9.5 megajoules ME, metabolisable energy, whereas some of the stems and dead material can be down to 7 megajoules. So, at one end, if you're providing pure leaf, it's sufficient to probably provide about 13, 14 litres of milk. If they end up having to eat stem, that's probably enough for 1 or 2 litres of milk. What you need to do is to optimise the leaf, and there's a number of things there. What we found out, the kikuyu plant grows about 4 to 4.5 new leaves, and then the stem really starts to grow until about 6 leaves, and then the oldest leaves start to die. So we set a target of grazing at about 4 to 4.5 leaves, and in the middle of summer on the north coast, that's probably every 14 days, something like that. And in sort of March, April, that would probably be about every 25 days, something like that. And at that stage, you get the maximum leaves without any growth of a stem. The other thing then is there will be some stem that will have grown. So if you let the cows eat the leaf, then what's left, the stem, needs to be at some stage probably mulched or slashed down to about 5 or 6 centimetres. And in most cases, you probably do that about 3 times, perhaps 4 times during the summer. But that's all probably after every second or third grazing. And you usually do it when you actually get really good rain, because you know that you're going to get really good growth. And by mulching fairly hard, you actually set back the growth, but you end up with good quality in the end.
What does mulching actually do then to the kikuyu plant to make it grow quite well?
Mulching actually takes away or cuts off the stems that the cows don't really want. And when you do that, you actually stimulate the plant to start growing new leaves, and that's really what you want. Mulching is probably the best, but it's fairly power hungry and slow, but it cuts the stems, etc., up very finely and spreads them, whereas slashing's probably quicker, but you tend to leave rows, and that sometimes, if you've got too much rubbish on there, it tends to kill the kikuyu, because kikuyu doesn't like shading.
Why can't you just speed up the rotation in autumn and graze before the 4 or 5 leaf stage if pasture availability is tight?
You can do that. A number of issues, though, if you do that. If you go too quickly, if you're actually applying nitrogen just after the last grazing, when you go much below about 12 days, the plants tend to have a high level of nitrogen, which is not good for the cows. You also actually have a reduction in the amount of sort of desirable minerals in the plant too, because when you first graze in the early regrowth, succulent regrowth, it's very high in potassium and very high in nitrates and very low in sugars. And when you actually leave the plant to grow to about 14 days, the sugars have gone right up, the nitrogen's gone right down, the potassium's gone right down, which is a problem for cows, and things like calcium and magnesium have increased, which is really good.
If you do go too quickly, are you opening yourself up to kikuyu poisoning?
You could actually end up with nitrate poisoning, and that might be subclinical. Your cows might be a bit sick in the rumen because of too much nitrate. In most cases, well, very rarely, do you see it sort of manifest as a clinical thing.
So is kikuyu poisoning and nitrate poisoning the same thing?
There's not that much known about kikuyu poisoning, and nitrate poisoning could be involved, but we're not sure. But the nitrate poisoning is certainly fairly clear, what the symptoms are and where it comes from.
So with kikuyu poisoning then, is there something you should be looking for?
Like I said, there's very little known about it, and it's very rare. And I think in most cases, if you follow the recommendations, you're very unlikely to get it. Where you do tend to get it is where, you know, and also nitrate poisoning is where the cows are eating really succulent shoots of kikuyu. And that might not be actually even after applying nitrogen fertiliser. You can have a dry period where a lot of nitrogen breaks down into the soil and then you get rain and you get shoots and there's a lot of nitrogen or nitrates in those shoots, and that's just as bad as if you just put on nitrogen fertiliser.
Now, in feeding kikuyu pasture, is this the time of the day, particularly with sugar levels, important?
Yeah, especially in kikuyu, because in kikuyu, the actual levels of sugar are actually lower than in ryegrass, and that's one reason why sometimes when you're cutting kikuyu for silage, you sometimes put an inoculum in for that reason. But all plants, including kikuyu and ryegrass and kikuyu, actually build up sugars during the day on a sunny day. And it's simply that it's a surplus of sugars that they've built, they've made, which is surplus to their needs for their growth and respiration. That's all it is. So if you get a long sunny day, they build up. If you get cloud, they're all used for respiration and growth. There's no build up, and in fact actually decline. So that often with, say, in periods where you might get a month of sort of cloudy weather and very little sunshine, the sugar levels in all grasses are actually extremely low, and you can notice that because the cows really don't like the grass because it's quite bitter.
So I assume that's where mulching then becomes very important in kikuyu management to try and get the new shoots growing again.
Yeah, exactly.
For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.